아래 난 지금 당하도 동아시아티게 당 디기시아티게 차사 규단 김매 발로 용고마 규단 김에 되는 용고레스 동아시아티 규긴 가능성이 용고레랍나 뉴 아니 미가와 제발에 되네 나 주게 동아용의 규사고레 텔레티네 동아의 용고레스 지루하다 규 미개와 사발에 되네 미개와 제발에 되네 아는 안서 동아리 용고레스 제사당 안서 동아리 매와 쓰고 원자 한데 가르치고 그랬으니 동아용의 규 미개와 되네 매와 쓰고 그랬으 제사당 미개와 되 가르치고 하면 안 주게 다 되셔 콘도 나게 아니 되니기 원길리 디다 미개와 녀모 바세 디소 아니 미개와 제고 그랬으 제사당 안서 규 콘도 원기 아니 이제 콘도 세리 콘도 원기 셀리기 뉴비기 디군이 라제 된디의 뇌비게 자와제 뇌비 자와제를 레양한 바사 디게제고 망원부대 동아용고아레스 제자다 동아용아야비 규디가레야라네 치료로 요 말해 가서 샘낭로 요래 샘낭이 가르세네 묘모바디에스 디발라고아레스 묘모바 제자 디메바스요고레스 하지 안다 디메바스요바라 안에 가니스 메바스요고레라 요두 제자다 만주기 룽아 예수미요데 예주의 덤비게 추림소야당 네 잠바다 제와고마 고미야기 두스네 내가 다티소 네 메바스에나 두스네 메바스 요고레스 딕 제바이나 네 디니고 야카비오레스 안디 수림스야다 잠제 공발레테네 안디 공발레테네 가리오스 안디 마두 대와용야 규티티레스 잠바다 제와다 수림스야다 아니 진바 동베 셈바 자산 디니게 벤셈 유랑기 류노제 계속 제바 심지 시알리아 땅기 삼비게 삼로테제 아니 Luma Yusum Yukone Shanle, Tsewe Chavale, Chigme, Sempe Samlo Tiche, and Shantam Jan Simjan, Dewa de Dena, Sempe Samlo, Shan Simjan, Dumala Tan, Asimbe Samlo, or Diso Samlo, Dizola Dene, and then Azuki, and Nyomo Patike Paka Gores, and some Dizola Dene, Azulia, and Tiki to Yaki Gires, Sanga to Dinam Nechores, Tanga to Dizhi Shobe, and T. That's a much sum nala ya, no more juyaki, don't you have a goody delays and water chair? Daddy never saw it now. Did you do your goody delays and water chair? Tanga to dingy the caradango relabna, that don't want me go by that, don't want you to never say, or it. Answer, did you go with that? Did you goody yamazo yakum nipo confit tango? Dinza, Mansu Lumas Nich to Sudim de Yana and Suyata, Jamse de Yana and the Comia. Ane itu yang sebab yang ada komedi di sekolah ni, sekarang tu, tak di si juga di negara Jepun.
This morning we spoke about how all suffering we experience comes about in dependence on causes. Through particular causes, a result of suffering comes. So too with happiness. Happiness is a result that has come about in dependence on causes. The causes of our suffering is non-virtue. Non-virtuous causes lead to suffering. When we understand the sequence of cause and effect, that non-virtuous causes lead to suffering, we'll want to identify those causes so that we can eradicate them. Because if the causes are eradicated, the resultant suffering cannot be experienced. So then what are the causes of suffering? These non-virtuous causes that lead to suffering. They are our own afflictions. They are our own particular ways of thinking. Anger, attachment, ignorance, pride, jealousy, and so forth. These minds are the causes of suffering. And how so? To the extent that an affliction arises and abides and we engage with it, we strengthen our habituation to that affliction. We strengthen our habituation to that affliction. And as the stronger our affliction is, the more likely we are to act under its influence. It's not going to just come and go, but it's going to stay a while. And likely influence our physical behavior and our verbal communication. And in this way, we strengthen the negative karma we create and we bring suffering to others. This is important to recognize because it points to the root, to the cause of our suffering as within. We are quite habituated to pointing outside of ourselves at supposed causes of our suffering. But those are not the actual cause. It's here, within our own afflictions. The great power of recognizing this is it means if our afflictions are the source of our suffering, this is something we have control over. We can transform our mind. It's a little difficult to change the outer world. We can transform our own mind. And how to do so? Develop contrary minds, opposing minds, opposite minds, such as definite emergence, love, compassion, generosity, ethical restraint. These are opposite to the afflictions, and to the extent that we become habituated to this way of thinking, the afflictions will struggle to arise. And if they do, they'll be weak and of low duration. So these virtuous minds, these and all other virtuous minds, are temporary antidotes to the afflictions. And they are the causes that lead to happiness. What we looked at this morning is the need to recognize, firstly, that suffering and happiness arises independent of causes, and that those causes abide within our own ways of thinking, both the causes of suffering and happiness. And thereby, engaging in a sustained meditation practice, we can strengthen our habituation to wholesome ways of thinking, and thereby weaken our habituation to unwholesome ways of thinking.
Oh yeah, that in it ma don't jitter the zone Madonna, Lu Jenna, Quaky Raptation, Sung Majation to Kena Yang, Tu Duro Mimba, which yes.
The 11th verse. If you have still not realized this truth, then even if you wear exquisite clothing and jewelry, speak eloquently, and are highly educated, how can it be said that your intention is any different from an animal? Look at the first line. If you have still not realized this truth or this fact, this then refers to what I've just presented in the summary, what we're looking at this morning, in that the truth that is being referred to, or the fact that is being referred to, is our suffering is a result from non-virtuous causes, which are our own afflicted minds. These lead us to act in ways which bring harm and suffering to others. The second part of this truth is that these can be eradicated through developing the contrary minds, the virtuous minds. As to the extent we develop those, they are causes, and they will serve to counteract and outweigh or overpower afflicted minds. So this is the fact referred to here.
Lui Samlatana, the Karikabra Yorson, Dundra, Dulo, Missy, Maraho, Gazina, Dirwa, Dulo, Singanjuki, that Karikabra, and the Dulo, and Chichibaka, the Ninjibo, and Gargo, with the Manzuko, and Singor, Dundra, the Cabra Diores, Dundruki, Shingo, Miki Shingores. だ、そうそう、や、考えて、パショルで送給地へパ、ディニアだ、アンチ、ジェディ、これと信じです。じゃあ、なんで、ミリ、ミリ、サムロディ、カレーですね。サムロディ、カルドゥスね。そういう、ギン、で、考えて、ディニーが取れ、何や、チュンジュン、ジュエディ、アンチ、シーゴレ。で、そうそう、や、考えて、パショルで送給地へパ、ディニアだ、アンチ、ジェディ、これと信じです。じゃあ、なんで、ミリ、ミリ、サムロディ、カレーですね。サムロディ、カルドゥスね。そういう、ギン、で、考えて、ディニーが取れ、何や、チュンジュン、ジュエディ、アンチ、シーゴレ。で、そうそう、や、考えて、パショルで送給地へパ、ディニアだ、アンチ、ジェディ、これと信じです。
The verse concludes with then even if you wear exquisite clothing and jewelry, speak eloquently and are highly educated, how can it be said that your intention is any different from an animal? So here, we, as humans, we have tremendous intellect. So we know about, for example, designing and creating different clothing to serve different purposes, such as to show we protect it from the weather. We also know how to speak eloquently. And in these ways, we can develop education in a number of fields. So we have, this marks us out from animals. They have the fur or the feathers they are born with, and they can't do too much more than that. And likewise, developing their speech to being eloquent, as well as developing education, this is beyond animals. However, the motivating mind of an animal and that of humans, this is quite often not so different. Both think primarily about the pleasures and comforts of this life solely, having delicious food and sufficient, enough water to drink, and whatever material comforts they can muster. So in this way, our behavior and an animal's, and our way of thinking and an animal's, is really not so different. Moreover, under the influence of the afflictions, we bring harm to others through our physical behavior, as to animals. Under the influence of the afflictions, we verbally communicate with others in harmful ways, as do animals. So we can see that it's very possible that we are not that different from animals, especially in terms of our way of thinking.
Ani Gabriel Chubu Jitueso Jabje Dimato, and Koronzuki Simje Suvi, and Koronzuki Sai, Dunda Su, Dine, Dojason, Shayo Marvada. Tanazu Milia, Garso Orson, Chikosuki, Javi Mazi, Patungi Toya, and the Chikuji Bejdangurva, and Dimazigeta, Tushi Jala Suichin, Digi, and the Chik Tarnbu Yuba in the Chik Shan Gangajaya, Dinigi, Dusine.
Mahoshi Generally, as humans, we see animals as less evolved than we are. There's certainly a validity to this, but we can say that in some ways their life is a lot simpler than us. They, as long as they have sufficient to eat and drink, they're generally content. They may have their complaints and their scuffles, but if they've got sufficient to eat and drink, that's their day completed. Ourselves, that's not sufficient. We need to engage in our various work and business activities to create material comfort and have sufficient to eat and drink, and that never really is enough for us. Moreover, to have what we consider a sustainable life, we need a lot of tools and implements and paraphernalia. And this requires money, it requires technology and skill and a lot of industry from others. Moreover, we utilize our intelligence in harmful ways, environmental destruction, warfare. So these are concerns that are not found amongst animals. They do not need to toil and labor like we do, and nor do they need such an array of material conditions so as to sustain their existence. And certainly they don't gang up and go to war in the way that we can engage in destructive behavior. But as humans, we do have incredible potential that is beyond animals. We can observe our suffering, as well as our community or the world around us, observe their suffering, and put some thought into, does that suffering come from causes or not? Recognizing that it cannot be causeless, we can put further thought into identifying what those causes are. Coming to see that whilst there will be an array of causes, primarily it comes down to afflicted minds, the motivating mind behind action, these afflictions. So this humans can identify. Moreover, humans can identify that there is a system, a method by which these afflictions can be eradicated. And this is done through developing contrary ways of thinking, opposing ways of thinking, as we've discussed this morning and previously, in particular, ethical restraint, as well as love, compassion, and other virtuous ways of thinking. Humans, then, can come to understand this well, not just merely intellectually, but apply this way of thinking, this understanding, to themselves. And through meditating repeatedly on this, humans can radically transform their mind, and in this way, are starkly different from animals.
The next verse.
If your mind is not thoroughly merged with the Dhamma, it will be futile to beautify and cover with a long robe the short-lived body and abode of foul substances, as it will only waste away. If your mind is not thoroughly merged with the Dhamma. What this means is, on our continuum, we have the seeds or imprints of both classes of mind, the afflictions such as anger, attachment, pride, and jealousy, as well as virtuous minds such as ethical restraint, love, compassion, generosity, and so forth. So these we have. Whether our mind is merged with the Dhamma or not depends on whether of these two classes or these two categories which is naturally dominant. So if at the moment our mind is dominated by the afflictions, it naturally goes in an afflicted direction, then our mind is not merged with the Dhamma, because our mind is not entwined with the wholesome minds of the Dhamma. Whereas if our mind is merged or integrated with the Dhamma, naturally, spontaneously, our mind will go in a virtuous direction. And
취재
having the seeds for both the afflictions as well as the virtuous states of mind. If our way of thinking is primarily, mostly dominated by the afflictions, then we find ourselves as described in this verse. If your mind is not thoroughly merged with the Dhamma, it will be futile to beautify and cover with a long robe the short-lived body and abode of foul substances, as it will only waste away. This body that we have is unclean and impure and is insubstantial in that it so easily falls ill, and not only that, it's not stable in that a small condition can lead not only to severe illness but death too. We can try and hide the actual state of our body, of our situation, by covering ourselves with a long robe and trying to beautify ourselves. But that will not be successful at all, in that such changes are merely superficial. The afflictive state of our mind will still be exposed. We will not be seen as a beautiful person, in that we will be recognized as being desirous, proud, angry, etc. The afflictions cannot be hidden like this. And with our mind remaining dominated by the afflictions, this life, this opportunity will go to waste. In other words, this incredible opportunity that comes with this precious life will not be fully utilized through us creating the causes for liberation and enlightenment. And in that way, merely trying to obscure the causes or hide the causes that will lead to our suffering, our afflictions, as opposed to actually dealing with them, this life, this opportunity, will be wasted.
Da jigi nyewe nyeju jigi me shanle chewa jigi me sebe samlo yobanza ane shanle chewa chebe chewa le jugu wa mare jiza da nga zi deji shuwe sheba ne shanle jamba da chewa kumba yina digi genje shanle chewa yungu wa mare jiza jini mewa zang da nga zi lu di be jige nye se jik cho cho ganga che cho cho nye na zi yong cho cho dini lu di mi zang wa dini yu tenpu mewa je re de yine nga zi sem samli tone अने चुरी चुरी मुझे याद था जिम्बिया सामना ताया जंजे कोम्या सेवो कोम्या के देने के अने समझे हम जो सांजो को बांध थोपर चिकिंग से भी के कुनो जंजे सेम सुधु जे सामना न्यामन जे कोम्बा इन्ना मानो लुडी देन देले या अन जो ये जिके कोई यो बेचे दावा दे된다 아니 세치마이네 소소띵 잡아 밀리는 것이 토야다 디디네라 개위 자와제야 용고래 안타바다 템지 기묘고 막 톱 톱이 규차다 사고래 디네자 아 저게 개위 셈네 되게 야 삼로도 슉철 두고래 제자디 된다 된 바차고래 저거단 다디 여왈마선 아 저게 셈니디 약도니디 디체 안디 셈디 디톤이 지번에 야 차고래 세딩한다 냠는 저거 디리에서 여와친 송고로와
We have the imprints of both afflicted minds as well as virtuous minds on our continuum. If we are more inclined to the virtuous ways of thinking, what will dominate us is the commitment not to harm in any way. Here we will have developed a mind of ethics, ensuring that we physically and verbally do not bring harm to others due to having subdued or restrained our mind. And accompanying this will be a determination, not only will I not harm others, I will benefit them. I will benefit them because I see others as dear. They are valuable to me. This attitude may well have been developed as far as being a mind of bodhicitta or of that direction, where one wants to become a Buddha to benefit others. So these are, of course, virtuous qualities that will have been developed on our continuum. Our body will be still impure, it will still be easily fall ill and is unstable, and that one can quickly meet a cause that will bring our death. That won't change. But it will now be beautified by these inner qualities. That inner beauty will shine through. We won't have to rely on a beautiful clothes or a long robe covering this body, because that will not be able to hide our afflictions. But even the impure nature of our body, that will not be able to hide either the good qualities within us. We will be seen as a beautiful person. And moreover, we'll be creating the causes through the development of these minds for lasting stable happiness, liberation and enlightenment. And whilst creating these causes, we will be experiencing ever greater happiness. And through the expression of the development of these causes, these virtuous minds, we'll be benefiting beings right now, and will continue to do so lifetime to lifetime as our virtuous minds grow in strength. The 13th verse. If your mind is adorned with realizations and virtue, your food and excrements become medicinal nectar. And even if your skin is covered by the shabbiest of rags, you are worthy for beings to offer homage at your feet.
अनि यहाँ जिम्बे न्यामले चम्जे न्यामले सुबे न्यामले ज्यादा अनि जिके तोमाङ तोपे शेर दुसिनो कमजे न्यामले जिके केविगे केवा या ओचे क्या जुगे न्यामले जिते सम केवे सम या कोने कोन्दु पेजे सोसे तोपा जे देबा इना अनि तोपे नां तोपे केवे जेम्बा दिसे नां तोपा को न्यामले केवे न्यामले दे या कोने कोन्दु पेवा देले तोपा जुरादे Dinigi Peche Kevigi Pa Nazu Dus Nyamlin to Yoba Yina Jamba Yina.
The first line, if your mind is adorned with realizations and virtue, these would then refer to the virtuous minds being cultivated. Minds such as ethical restraint, generosity, love, compassion, patience, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. As these grow in strength and dominance in us, these virtuous minds are what are referred to here.
Jesa da dine khala siu ro da khala lia ani ji shang ji du ji cui 所以说，现在的，像其实这是这些问题的，感觉到了，卡拉觉悟了些，卡拉才了，卡拉觉悟了，心里呢，还有嘛那些的，卡拉觉悟，卡拉上，让自己，才了，卡拉觉悟起，观了，读了觉悟，就感觉不一样。能够有多变，人们的给予人们的，也会有不一样。那所以说，先，这是西里奥的，西里奥的。
아니,시리오바마세,시엘레야,판바제치오주.아니,지금,샵,샵하르지오투유,최보르위에세,미당,라당,차상기,최보푸유유체고레스.제사디,수부교부,칼라교보로시니에,소수기,냠렌지,도베기,냠렌지,냠렌지,장슈셈다,인제다,장슈셈다,소바랑,유레게디게,데니기,냠렌여바이나,미스,타다,미당,차상기,최보푸유유체고레스,최보푸유유체고레스.
Your food and excrements become medicinal nectar, and even if your skin is covered by the shabbiest of rags, you are worthy for beings to offer homage at your feet. Here the contrast between this and the previous verse is clear. Externally, even if someone with on their continuum have powerful minds, dominant minds of ethics, generosity, love, compassion, patience, and wisdom, if their material conditions, for example, the food that they eat, is of poor quality and the clothing that they wear is of the poorest of qualities, having a mind of peace, deep, lasting inner peace, a mind that is always joyful, such an approach, so such a person is worthy of homage or respect being shown by humans and gods. These two verses then, the 12th and 13th, they present a contrast between those who superficially try to present themselves as attractive and those who have a deep inner beauty. On the exterior, they may look vastly different. But the inner beauty, or the lack thereof, will shine through. Someone who is superficially attractive, they may have a lovely home, lovely, have all material comforts and power and influence, but with a personality that is afflicted, they will be known as such. And their interactions with others will bring harm, and the reaction from others will cause them harm. So no matter how much power, prestige, and superficial beauty they may have, their relationships will have conflict. Others will struggle to trust them. They will struggle to trust whether others are trustworthy because they have perhaps a great name or power or wealth. And therefore they don't know why others, what others' true intentions are with them. So despite the superficial being well developed, being dominated by the afflictions, they go through life experiencing problem and difficulties continuously. This is contrasted with someone who has attained a deep inner state of peace. They have attained true beauty. Their mind is always at content. They will eat what is required. They will have sufficient material resources, clothing and the like, but only what's sufficient. More than that, they have no need for. They have no desire for it, no need for it. Such a person, despite their relatively poor external conditions, because of their incredible inner beauty, they will move through life a very different experience. Everyone they encounter, they will experience them as a friend. People in their presence will be calm and relaxed, knowing that this is a trustworthy person before them. And thereby, this person will go through life without conflict. Even if the others do, on occasion, respond to them in a harsh way, because they have attained a state of inner peace, they will experience no conflict. So these two verses really summarize two very different ways of being. The purpose of these two verses is for us to look at this, see the validity of what's presented here, so that we can add to our determination to abandon the causes that will only lead to superficial transitory pleasures and strive at those that will bring lasting happiness. This is the purpose of these two verses.
The 14th verse.
Because of all these reasons, attention to that which lacks a great purpose in this life should uncompromisingly be renounced. From now on, without coming under the influence of distraction, please, by every possible means, accomplish the profound Dharma.
The 14th verse.
Because of all these reasons, attention to that which lacks a great purpose in this life should uncompromisingly be renounced. Because of all these reasons, this then refers to what has just been presented, that our afflictions that lead to all our suffering, and their contrary minds, the minds of virtue such as love, compassion and ethics, it's these that lead to happiness. Recognizing that, attention to that which lacks a great purpose in this life should uncompromisingly be renounced. Here again we are being advised to recognize that it's our focusing on the attainment of and enjoyment of this life's pleasures and comforts that blinds us to the true purpose and potential of this life. We need to guard ourselves from this and no longer allow ourselves to be under the sway of this delusion, this ignorance. The pleasures and comforts of this life are fleeting. They last moments, and then they're gone. And whilst there is a need for pleasures and comforts, they need to be seen in their wider perspective, in this way, in proportion. The skilled practitioner will see the pleasures and comforts of this life as mere tools to utilize so as to achieve a great purpose, lasting happiness. Pleasures of this life are not to be seen as a goal, but merely utilized so as to create causes for liberation and enlightenment. And accompanying this is the determination to abandon the afflictions completely. Because these afflictions are what keep us bound in suffering and pain and will continue to do so. And if we only focused on the happiness of this life, they will continue to dominate us. The verse concludes, from now on, without coming under the influence of distraction, please by every possible means accomplish the profound Dharma. Distraction here then, we understand as distraction from virtue, which refers to the arisal of the afflictions and allowing them to abide and influence us. So this we must not allow to happen. How so? By every possible means, accomplish the profound Dharma, the profound Dharma being the various virtuous minds of the Dharma. So how not to allow one to be distracted by the afflictions is to develop the contrary minds so that they start to dominate us. To the extent that we are dominated by virtuous minds, we will not be under the influence of distraction or the afflictions.
Nama chimba kondro dadi sem la ta se ngore
whatever it is that we want that we want to attain is a result which means wanting a result we need to identify what the cause is and then accomplish that cause. If one wants an apple, if one wants an apple tree perhaps, and have an abundance of apples, one needs to know, or needs to get the seed and plant it in the correct soil and then care for it. And in this way, the wanted result of an apple tree with abundant fruit will come. There's a famous verse from Atisha, which says, if you look at your conditions in this life, your current state, you can know about your past lives. And if you look at your mind, you therefore know about your future lives.
This quotation from Atisha is very important because it reminds us that all that we have is a result of causes we ourselves have created. And this, when we reflect on it, leads to a strength of mind, knowing that our future, therefore, is in our own hands. We have influence. We have all, in the past, practiced ethics well, because the attainment of a human rebirth is the ripening result of ethics. So therefore, we know we can practice ethics well, restrain our mind from coming under the influence of afflictions, and thereby create causes for good rebirths, because we are experiencing such a result. We've done it before, and we can and need to continue doing so, developing our mind of ethics ever further, so as to create ever more powerful causes. When we look at our material conditions, these too are results. They're the result of generosity. So where we in this country, we generally live in a comfortable material situation. And this has come about in dependence on causes that we created in past lives. Didn't happen magically. We created the causes ourselves. We've done it, and therefore we can continue to do so in this life and create further similar causes to ensure that in our future lives we again have an abundance of material circumstances. Thinking like this then gives us confidence and courage that at the very least we just need to continue what we have done in past lives but we have the capacity to grow and develop the strength of these minds of ethics and generosity within us and thereby create even more powerful causes for future lives.
Reading the fourth line, please, by every possible means, accomplish the profound Dharma. Reflecting the way that has been presented, one will want to know, tell me about all these means that I can engage in so as to accumulate the causes to transform my mind and my future. The term profound in profound Dharma, here we can understand as referring to there being a gradient of strength from ordinary up to profound. As should be very clear from the presentation thus far, the meaning of Buddhist practice is transforming one's mind. So whether one's Dharma practice is ordinary or profound depends on what we are doing with our mind. If one is inspired to engage in particular ethical restraint, this essential practice, as well as companion practices such as generosity, love and compassion, whomever cultivates these minds are cultivating minds of virtue. And these are Dharma minds, minds of virtue. What makes them profound Dharma is depending on the motivation. So to go through a gradient, when engaging in a virtuous act, so meditating on generosity, ethical restraint, love, compassion, and or acting and speaking under their influence, what makes that mind, what makes such an activity of great virtue, middling or lesser virtue, is the motivation. So here we need to pay close attention. If our motivation, for example, making offering to the three jewels, is to create merit so as to overcome some problems in this life and to achieve some happiness in this life, it's a meritorious act. You'll always be encouraged to do it. But the merit created is small and doesn't reach further than this life. Engaging the self-same act, whether it's making offerings or a particular meditation, but in order to gain good rebirth. So we've heard that meditating on ethics creates a cause for a good rebirth as a human or God. So meditating on ethics, committing not to harm, so as to create that cause, far more powerful, but still quite limited in its scope. We're creating virtuous causes that will lead to a good rebirth, and that's it. But engaging in that same meditation, again on ethics or making offerings to the three jewels, whatever the virtuous act is, thinking and having as a motivation to create virtue beyond this life as well as our next life, but life, to spiritually develop, to become a Buddha, so that we can be of greatest benefit to all beings. That then is a profound motivation. And that is what is referred to here. We're engaging in whatever virtuous act, but with such a motivation, it will be included then in profound dharma because of the strength of the motivation that goes not only beyond this life, not only beyond the next life, but with a goal that will continue throughout lifetime to lifetime, striving to become a Buddha so that one can continue to be of great benefit to others.
This final motivation, the motivation that leads to an activity being included within the profound dharma, is the motivation of bodhicitta, or in English, the mind of enlightenment. And it is the determination to become a Buddha in order to alleviate the suffering of others, as those two components. When this is generated, it needs to be generated intentionally through a sequence of training. Therefore, it would be called contrived. And whilst it has arisen, you could say it's bodhicitta, but it's not what one is aiming for. One is aiming to develop one's habituation to it, so it becomes uncontrived. It doesn't have to be intentionally generated. It is, one's mind is so habituated to this way of thinking that it spontaneously arises. You could say it's always present, but it would spontaneously arise. With such a mind, uncontrived bodhicitta, every virtuous act one engages in becomes a cause for Buddhahood. Whatever one does becomes causes for Buddhahood. As long as uncontrived bodhicitta is lacking, that cannot be said. Cannot be said that one, whatever one does becomes a cause for Buddhahood. So for us, not yet bodhisattvas, we do though have on our continuum the wish to become a bodhisattva, the wish to generate uncontrived bodhicitta. We know this when we hear teachings or we engage in meditation. This wish does arise, genuine and heartfelt. May I become a bodhisattva for the sake of all. So that cannot yet be called bodhicitta because it's not uncontrived. And for us though, not only is it not uncontrived, it is still very weak. It comes and it quickly goes, doesn't abide and dominate all that we say, do or think. Nevertheless, though, these are the seeds that we need to accumulate. This is our training, accumulating these seeds, which will eventually, we will develop into uncontrived bodhicitta and arise as a bodhisattva.
That Rang dunga midupana simjan chasang dunga kukukua maara chasang sa simjan tamche dunga dhan chah kukudu dunga dhan chah naa san pegi dini dhu gom che dini dhu gaze gom nubha shuk chenpo chah dhu anang gom ya dhu simjan tamche dunga dhan chah wa dhan diyu dhubya dhe ngay jikin san pegi samlo shi ligo war dha khor jamze gom bhi nubha chah dhu dhu di ngay jeho san pegi khor rang shuk ligo war dhine za dha simjan tamche dunga dhan chah ya dhan Digi juve de ngay che khudu, che zan semchen ki dunga de ngay dra tuba che gu de. Semchen tamche ki, ane digi de yang khonsu le digi yunga de ngay che ki insan peke samlo shi li war da, gong war, di laksan nam daas, di gong gu re jere. Da di gong miyong du kab la, ane samlo di che le khali gresen, semchen tamche dunga da dra ya da digi ru ngay che ki de da, da di semchen dunga dra ya da digi juve le ya, tablam ji kukura, tablam ji kukura wa da ganis ja kukura si de. That it koala, consulia, tablam di, yamlin jege, dungagi, gut, cause a digi drube, gudege pa sajo, and then dunga sege, yamlin di, rimbati pa, lolpa, jam, com, the jam, the consul, lobden jeje, and the consulia, dunga sea, that digi drube, jugudu. Di lobden jebala, soso yahu, buida, ho singudu. Di singa suresen, sangi do, sangi sadi, che tam jemosum the door to get. And the che giddy, du suji, tembaina, Yaha, Kadi, Yaha, you have a chin to get, and a chick, Ganis dim in a din to get. Tis that? Simjan, did you do the Duma say, get Tablam, Yaksho did a Sangil Matu Mindus, Jida Sangi, Tablam, Yaksho Rishas. Tienza, Ne Simjan Tamje, did you do Duma say, Sangi Goma Matu, then the Tab Mindu, Sembeda, Sangi Goba Toba Jean, Sembeget Toba Shos, and Besamlodi, Dinichoma, but initially to go, Jansu Semti Bigo, Eja. Jida Dinizada, Chesam, Yamlin Jesu. Chesamoji, Semjatamji to Sanjogova Yamne, Tobichi, the Yamne Chebala, Dambo, Jamba, Jambokom, Dene Nijokom, Dene Semjatamji, Dunga, Daji, Digi to be at the Nijiki, Sibir, Lassan, Namtake, Dene, and then Nijabala, the Tablam Yakshu, the Karasin, Sanjogova, Chitang, Sanjogova, Chinik, Tobar, Chiki, Sibi, Jansu Semdi, Yamne Jore, Dinam, Dus Yamne, Jimba, the Dusia, Ores, or that.
Take the seeds that we have on our continuum, four bodhicitta, and add more to them so that we can actually generate uncontrived bodhicitta. There's a sequence of training to go through. We need to use analytical meditation, analysis and investigation to develop love and compassion. We reflect how all sentient beings, myself and all sentient beings, want happiness, want to be freed of suffering. There's no difference between myself and others. We all want to be happy. And what we all beings desire, even if they are still unaware of it, is not just mere transitory happiness that they experience from time to time in their life, but a state of lasting inner peace that is never disturbed, never punctuated by suffering. This is the happiness beings want. Whether they know it's attainable or not, this is what drives beings, the search for meaning, the search for inner peace. And accompanying this, all beings, myself and all the others, we don't want to suffer. Not even a slight discomfort, let alone extraordinary pain. None of this any being wants to experience. We really are all the same like this. We need to reflect like this again and again, taking examples from our own lived experience and what we observe, strengthening this understanding of equality between all beings. Thereafter, as we're developing this, the wish will start to arise within us naturally, that it is merely wishing for others to attain a state of lasting happiness, freed from suffering, is insufficient. I know that's what I want, and I'm striving to get there. But merely wishing for others, it doesn't sit well with me. I have a responsibility towards them. We have relationship, we have connection. We are entwined, interdependent. I can't put them as secondary to me when our wants and wishes are identical. Their attainment of freedom from suffering and the attainment of lasting stable happiness really is my responsibility. I have to ensure that I don't work solely for myself and my own attainment of happiness, but I help others to do so. This needs to be my responsibility. So this thought, it's called the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility. It's a result that comes about in dependence on reflecting on love and compassion. It starts slowly to arise naturally within us, and we build its strength by developing our love and compassion too. Taking responsibility for the welfare of others, not leaving them to their own devices or to the responsibility of others, but seeing our interdependent relationship. How can I ignore them? Having generated an altruistic attitude to universal responsibility, the meditation moves further with analysis. Right now, I recognize how limited I am. I haven't achieved my own lasting happiness. So I have no experience to guide others in an unmistaken way because my mind is still faulty. I have to become a perfected being, a being free of all trace of fault and of good qualities that are completely and perfectly developed. Then I can really help others. Because what others need are what I am coming to gather, and that's knowledge on the causes of suffering and how to eliminate them, the causes of happiness and how to cultivate them. Just like I have met a skilled guide, I need to become a skilled guide for the sake of others. This is essential. This is the one gift they need from me. So therefore, I make the commitment, the pledge, I will strive with all my might to become a perfect being, a Buddha, a supreme guide, so that I can guide others from their current pitiful state, lost in misery, not knowing how to attain happiness. Guide them so they understand how to attain freedom and guide them in their attainment of it. I will become a Buddha. I will do so, and I'll do so as quickly as I can. Nothing else is as important as this. From now on, in every activity, my mind will be focused on accumulating causes for Buddhahood for the sake of others. This is how we develop uncontrived bodhicitta.
Andu sinyanze jambakum, jawakum, dine, anel hasan namda asekum, dine, simjian tamji yusan yukoban topar shu, sebe yujian shu sim, dus gom gugriyes. Na simjian tamji yusan yukoban topar shu, sam tsewe, dine, ane di yukunye langje, ta simjian tamji yukoban topar shu, samba zamji san yukoban topu, san yukoban topu, chidu da, jik, bine, liakar sun, jik che gugur, ta nganzu bine, sajji le jogin, samba zamji le tuya marwa, di jo gugurwa, chesan dine, isa, コーラトパショーセトビチザカワチェスネルナイスミエジティムチュルムソヤテネトンウェセンバチャンチンビキヤムレンチヤテネスウェバコンバセリゴルタスウェバコンヤスウェバコンデガルスネタンアジギスウェバコンライドゥタンデリアシンシェンギエソスレニュセチェネデリアスウェバコンゴゴレニュバレチマニンビスウェバセアダンアンデアジギソスギドンハタシナアジギ あの、
That's how one develops uncontrived bodhicitta. So here in the meditation, whatever bodhicitta one has generated, this thus far we'd call aspiring bodhicitta. So even if it is real bodhicitta, here it would still at this point called aspiring, in that one still needs to embark on the activities of a bodhisattva. Because the bodhisattva is now determined, I'll create the causes to become a Buddha for the sake of others. So now they need to engage in the accumulation of those causes. So moving from the mere aspiring or aspirational bodhicitta to that of engaging bodhicitta, we do in the same meditation. Here, one meditates on activities of a bodhisattva. And those are the six perfections that have been mentioned. Generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom. Of these, we've spoken on generosity and ethical restraint. So here, I'll look at the third, that of patience. Here, it's important to understand what patience means, because it can also be easily misunderstood. A mind of patience is a mind that stays undisturbed in the face of adversity. A mind that stays undisturbed in the face of adversity. And there are three divisions of patience, which differ in terms of the source from which adversity arises. The first is patience in the context we're most familiar with, and that is adversity from others. So when engaging with others, we now have this trying to act as a bodhisattva, working for their welfare, engaging with others for their welfare. These others, they're not bodhisattvas. They're afflicted, ordinary, suffering beings. And they have no control over their mind, are dominated by their afflictions, and understandably, therefore, will respond to us under the influence of those afflictions. Sometimes in a way that is fine, others in quite a strong way. Here, the bodhisattva needs to be patient, which means they need to ensure that it remains undisturbed. That is the meaning of patience. The adversity is the perhaps aggressive response from the other person. The bodhisattva's mind stays undisturbed. That's the practice of patience. For example, when helping others, engaging with others in any way, ordinary beings, afflicted beings, can easily respond with ingratitude or with greed. Here the practitioner guards their mind so that it's not, it stays undisturbed. In other words, no afflictions arise. Because if afflictions arise, there's a grave danger, they will give up. They will not help this person anymore. They'll say, fed up with you, I've tried so many times, and you keep wanting more, it's never enough. The bodhisattva's mind will stay undisturbed. The second source of adversity, the first was from people, around us. The second is from within, ourself. So this is with the arisal of our own afflictions, our own challenges. Here, when we notice this arising, in whatever context, we deal skillfully with our own mind, so as not to be overwhelmed. Keep our mind undisturbed, be patient with difficulties. We are still training. We will have difficulties. We don't need to be overwhelmed by them, overcome by them. And we certainly don't need to give up because of our own inner challenges, our own inner difficulties. Here the practice of patience is keeping the mind undisturbed from adversity that arises within. The third source is also primarily to do with adversity that arises from within, but this is now to do with practicing the Dharma. So when in perhaps receiving teachings or meditating on the teachings, adversity arises from within, or perhaps from without in terms of difficult circumstances. There, the Bodhisattva keeps the mind undisturbed in the face of that adversity. And a mind that is undisturbed by adversity is not overcome by adversity. That adversity is averted, is dealt with skillfully. With an undisturbed mind, those difficulties are not difficulties. They are transformed and skillfully dealt with, whether the source is someone else, one's own inner conflict, or in engaging in the Dharma. Six practices. Generosity, ethics, patience, and now the fourth, joyous perseverance. So joyous perseverance, like all of these trainings, is a mind, and it relates to engaging in virtue, whether it's through verbal communication, physical behavior, or ways of thinking. Joyous perseverance is an attitude towards virtuous activities of joy, of delight, of delighting in virtue, taking joy in virtue. It's a mind of enthusiasm that rejoices in this opportunity, wanting more, wanting to benefit ever more, engage ever more. This is the mind of joyous perseverance, a mind that delights in virtue.
That there is sugar than dirin, Kasan Sui Shia, the Gedang, the Dundining Body, Dang, the Karsam Dangrosin, Sugar Pai, Jihan to that, Shia, Semja Tam, Jerana, Shin, Dewa Duba, Dunga Mituba Chiba, Dewa Duba Chiba, Dunga Mitu Chiba, Dinza, Semja Tamja, Dewa, the Temba Show, Sambi, Samlachita, Dine, and the Semja Tamja, Dunga, the Tower Show, Sambi, Dinigi, Sam Tankum, Dine, that Semja Tamja, Dewa, the Temba, the Dunga, the Tower, dear. Simjan Tamji Dewa Diam, the Yuji Kugu, Yuma Savana, Diawara Marichesan, Yusaju, Yusaju, the Duma Mabasu, the Duma Mabasu, Tablam Gomje Mabasu, the Simjan Tamji Lea, Duma Digi Juvegi, Digi Yaragi, Tapsi Ninchigi, Simjan Yusaju, Digi Juvegi, Tapsi Chigi, the Simjan Tamji Duma than Jayadi, Nitavishi, Konsulia, Nimbo, Tablam Denji, Yamlinji, Simjan Tamji Duma, the Jaja, Yasangi Salukugi, Sambigi, Samasta, Dine Samta Savage, Dangi Simjan Tamji Sangi Sokobala, Dadangala, Nuba Mindu, Chesa Sangi Sokoba, Tablam Di, Yaksho, the Karasna, Sangi Kopari, Chesa Dinizangi, Simjan Tamji Dada, Duma said, Digi Juvia, Then 그래서 되는 삼단에 당연히 계획자와 가르치거든 배 가신 조심 배 약으로 해도 무디는 게 지도가 지기 삼비게 도신 전류 삼 도신의 삼단에 대한 아주다 최선의 염수 련세대 염내 삼단 다 뒤에다 도시의 삼단에 대해 갑라 아니 시행에 체외 삼바당 아니 지금 뉴비 삼바 류마 예수님 관해 시행에 뉴비 삼바디마 린고 랑신지 고가 기구 엄마 가요 뭐가 아니 然后这个金边人们的结局，你在哪？在哪？在哪的也罢，穷人。但随便人们的结局，你这现在啊，那么说，俺这个呃，那位国联落叶的这些车上都抢了。在尊重人们的结局，联络车上帮助的，给我家阿弟的结局，咱们来解码几件事，这联络的也怕搞住，知道？路线的当然就缺什么人们的结局，现在。 대주금전되게다
To summarize what we've been looking at, or rather, in place of a summary, when one would encourage you to do in your meditation, and if you get skilled at this, can be your very first thought as you wake up in the morning, and thereby remind yourself of it again and again. Firstly, there's no difference between myself and others. Everyone that I have ever met since beginning this time and will meet, we are all the same. There's no difference between us. We all want happiness and to be freed of suffering. There's no difference between us. Myself and the vast majority of beings are also no different in being bound by, overwhelmed by, governed by our afflictions. And this is what we need to gain freedom from. And I will ensure in my endeavors today to strive not to be dominated by the afflictions. Whenever I encounter someone, I will relate to them as someone just like me, my friend. I'll see myself as their helper, their companion. And I'll keep their welfare at the forefront of my motivation. Because we really are all the same. I don't want to experience harm, and I therefore will not bring harm to others. I want others to interact with me in a particular way, and I'll be sure to interact with them in that way. Whatever I am doing, whether I am alone or with others, I will keep their welfare at the forefront of my mind. The meaningless goings on in this world and my own ordinary life, I will not have them at the forefront of my mind. Rather, I'll have my own spiritual, my own virtuous minds at the forefront of my own mind continuously at all times. And thereby, whatever I'm doing, and whether I'm with others or alone, I will not bring any harm to others. Even when alone, I'll ensure my mind is free of the afflictions. And thereby, I'm not strengthening my habituation to unwholesome ways of thinking, but rather to virtuous ways of thinking. Moreover, whenever I'm with others, but two, when I'm on my own, I will remind myself of my need to help others, to give of myself to others, to share what I have with others. And in fact, in my practice now, I'll make offerings to the three jewels. And that merit, I dedicate to all. I give to others. And all the merit that I accumulate today, by keeping my virtuous minds dominant, I do this for all. All this merit is for others. So there we've reflected first on ethics, then on generosity, then into patience. I will ensure that I don't allow my mind to be overwhelmed by the afflictions, in particular with others. I will not, no matter how they relate to me, I will not respond in a harmful manner. And not only will I not respond in a harmful manner, I will ensure my mind is not afflicted. And this way, I'll keep my mind undisturbed in the face of any adversity. And likewise, as afflictions, when I'm on my own, as they arise in me, I will deal with them skillfully, keep my mind undisturbed. These are all virtuous activities I recognize as. And this is fantastic. In this way, I'm strengthening my habituation to virtue. I'm creating merit, and I'm becoming the person I long to be. This is what I want. This is who I want to be, and I will continue to do so. And this way, we generate delight and enthusiasm in what we are doing. Here, in these few minutes, you memorize these words, you put them into your own language. You can recall this again and again and again. And it just serves as a glance meditation to remind you of virtue, to turn away from non-virtue. This is how we train the mind. It's how we practice the profound Dharma. And every virtuous mind one cultivates, to the extent we cultivate it, we weaken the contrary, afflicted mind. As we develop joyous perseverance, our laziness is weakened. As we develop patience, our habituation to responding with harm or being overwhelmed by afflictions weakens. As we develop ethical restraint, our habituation to the afflictions weakens. As we develop generosity, our self-centered attitude of mindfulness weakens. This training, in brief, is something all of us need to engage in. Whatever our level of development, this is what we need to focus on. Until we are a Buddha, these minds are not perfected. And until we are a Buddha, the opposing afflictions need to be completely eradicated. So therefore, this meditation is something all of us need to engage in.
All right, that is it.
So thank you. Then we'll conclude there for today. Thank you so much.